So we Amen. Thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we are in the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 3. And we have been seeing this man, Paul, explaining to us the mystery that God gave him. What was the mystery? That Gentiles would also be partakers of the grace of God in Christ, to be included in the commonwealth of Israel, to also be partakers in the unsearchable riches of Christ. See? These are unfathomable, without incalculable. These are things that are without depth. And he also wanted to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery, you know, which he had hidden from the beginning, you know, from the beginning of the ages, hidden in God who created all things through Christ Jesus. And this fellowship of the mystery is where, just to explain it in simple terms, is how God hid that he wanted to unite the Gentiles and the Jews, that means all men, into Christ, and such that men can be carriers of God, and at the same time, men can be in God. Remember when Jesus says, "Don't you know I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" That is a mystery. And he tells his disciples that when I go, I will come with the Father and with the Spirit, and we will make our home in you, and you will be in us. You know, and we will be in you. So there's a fellowship of the mystery. That means, you know, when someone speaks of fellowship, it speaks that there is a union. When you speak, this is a fellow. This is like someone who has made you like him. You are now they have brought you to the place of communion. Now you are fellowship. Now there is a mystery which God had hidden. And you see, this is what the devil could not understand. This is what the principalities and powers could not understand. You know, they are looking for God. They are trying to see God. They are trying to understand God. And then they see God coming to dwell in a man. Ah! And they're like, this tiny creature, this clay, this dirt, how can God clothe himself with clay? And that's a fellowship of a mystery. That's a mystery that the Bible says is to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church. Sorry, made known by the church. So the church is revealing the manifold wisdom of God to who? To principalities and powers in the heavenly places. And that's why you must always have the consciousness that you are a revelator of God. Not just to your world, but also to principalities and powers in heavenly places. They are trying to understand God. You can think of how even the devil, he fought for the body of Moses. Why? Because Moses was speaking to God face to face, that even when he died, the devil was sure there are some things about God, there are some mysteries about God that are still in that body. That's why his body did not grow old, his strength was not abated, his eyes did not grow dim, he was still as strong as he was. Why? Because there was a mystery of God that was revealed in him. And the Bible tells us that as we behold his glory, we are being transformed with an ever-increasing glory into the very image of God. That means that the image of God, or the character of God, or the representation of God is fulfilled in Christ, and we are now in Christ. And now we are the examples of Christ on the earth, that Christ is living his life as a manager. Christ is living his life through us as a pastor. Christ is living his life through us as a businessman. The same way that if Christ was a carpenter, how would he have lived it? What are the kind of designs that he would have made? If he was a manager, what are the kind of decisions that Jesus would have made while on the earth? It is the same spirit of Christ expressing himself in us in multiple forms, and in all the individuals on the earth who are created according to his will. That's what the Bible says. We are created anew in Christ Jesus. We are made anew. You are just not an ordinary creation. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has gone, and behold, the new has come. So the church is a demonstrator of the manifold wisdom of God to principalities and powers in heavenly places. And the Bible says this is according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. That means that God has done it once and for all in eternity. And because God has done it, you know, we are saved in the realm eternal. When you come to Christ, you are saved in the realm eternal. Right now we are in time. But in eternity, Christ was already crucified before the foundations of the earth were laid. The lamb that was slain. That means that salvation to God is a completed action in eternity. There are things that have happened in eternity. Now, as we are living in a space of time, we are in a dimension of time. But now if you understand that in eternity, salvation is accomplished, your job is to just continue believing it, receiving it, and living the life of one that is saved from that eternal perspective. The Bible tells us, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ, Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness. You know the difference between the priests of the law and we that are able ministers is there is a boldness that God gives us. You know, there is a boldness why we have access with confidence through faith in him. That means there is a faith that you have faith in Christ, and that faith in Christ gives you access. That means we access the Father directly, face to face. We are seated with him in heavenly places. Nothing can hinder our access to God. That's what the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace by which you might receive mercy and grace for your time of need. There is a boldness that you come to God, that you are not fearful, You know, he that fears, the Bible says, is not perfected in love. But when you are perfected in love, when you understand what God has done, that how he loved you from the foundations of the earth, and how he has saved you, he has accomplished salvation for you eternally. When you acknowledge that, and when you see what God did by sending, taking on flesh, you know, clothing himself with man, being found in appearance as a man, such that we might have an exchange. You know, altars are places of exchange, sacrifice and exchange. And what we exchanged our sin for his righteousness. We exchanged our humanity for his divinity. We exchanged our fear, our inadequacies for his strength. God came to give us his nature, to make he became a son of man that we men might become sons of God. And that is how now we can see that Paul is saying now, verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now just take a pause there and ask yourself, what does it mean to be named by as a family of God? You see, in a family, there is always like a family name. There is a surname. Now, anyone that has this surname, you know you are of this lineage. That means that someone can trace your origin. They can say, these are the Zerevas. Oh, these are the Somers. Yes. Now I see there is a grace of God flowing in your life because of your name. Because I can see there is a lineage of your name. Now, the Bible is telling us the whole family in heaven and on earth is named from the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is speaking of the unity that God has made, that man to become his family. Remember, I've been speaking how you cannot call a dog your family. Why? Because you cannot interact at the level of consciousness or even communication with a dog. It is just instructions. Yes, you can adopt it. You can feed it. But you see, at the end of the day, you are not of the same class. You are not of the same order. You're not of the same creation. But you see, God has made it in a way that everything in heaven and on earth speaks of him. When you see of the angels, they demonstrate a dimension of God. When you think of Angel Michael, it is power. He demonstrates the power of God. When you think of Gabriel, he speaks the messages of God. When you think of the living creatures, you can think of how they are covered with eyes all over. That means they represent the all-seeing nature of God. You can think of the wind, how it goes, you know, in all different directions. They speak of the Spirit of God, the dimensions of God. Everything in heaven and on earth has the name of God in it. It has the dimensions of God in him. It has the character of God in him, in it. And through it, they are named. That means that, you know, in heaven, they are creatures or they are beings that we might never even fully understand while we are there. Think of the 24 elders. How do they look like? You can ask yourself, I mean, what's their shape? What is... It's just... In your mind, you can be blown with imagination. But the Bible is saying us and speaking to us that those elders, those 24 elders, and that's just a mystery. Why are they 24? And maybe it can even point you to where David changed the priesthood and he increased it to 24. Why? Because there are things that he saw in the heavens that he brought it down. Now, you can think of they all bow down. They worship him. They say, holy, holy, holy. They cast their crowns. Now, there is a family in heaven, and there is too a family on the earth. And now the family on the earth is the family of Christ, is the family of the believers. He wanted Adam. He made Adam to be his family. That is why he was closely interacting with him in the cool of the day. And everything on earth is made by God, and it is response to him. That is why God spoke everything. He created everything. The whole family in heaven and on earth is named. And when you are named by God, then that means you have his inheritance. You have his rights. You are a member of his home. You are a member of his household. And the Bible says, verse 16, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, what is the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I tell you, each of these lines is a sermon in itself. You can just think of it. You speak of the family in heaven and on earth, and you can think of how God is going to bring unity of things in heaven and things on the earth. They are going to be united in Christ. This is a mystery that we've been speaking about, that in the end, God is going to roll up this earth like a garment. He will just fold it up, and it will be completed as one of the works of God. And then he will bring the unity of heaven and earth into one. That heavenly Jerusalem is the union of heaven and earth. We are fused together in Christ. We are fused between heaven and earth. We will be fused in God. And then who knows what other work God will start in that time. That's a mystery of God. It remains a mystery of God. God is the creator. And he wants us to be a part of him. He wants us to be fused into him. At the end of all things, we are brought into unity in Christ. And then the Bible tells us that he's praying for the church. And these are one of the prayers of Paul. Remember, the other prayer is where he prays that that God will grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, this other prayer that he's making is that God will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. This might here is dunamis. Remember, the first dunamis you receive, and where we speak about dunamis, is that you shall receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's Acts 1:8. But then he's also saying here that God can be able to grant you according to the riches of his glory. He is able to grant when you're praying, that God can grant you according to the riches. Remember, these are unsearchable riches. That means God has riches in glory. That means when God grants you his glory, he can strengthen you. When someone is strengthened, it means that you are helped by God. I tell you, there is no one who does anything of value, of substance in the kingdom of God that does not have a mystery with God and that does not have a strengthening that comes from God. You can think of Elijah. Elijah was woken up by the angel, eat some food. He ate it. He slept again. He was woken up again, eat again. And he was told, eat, for the journey is long. And then the man walked 40 days. 40 nights until he got to Mount Horeb to wait to hear the voice of the Lord. Now, that's a supernatural strength. You can think of Jesus. The Bible says that after 40 days, when he had fasted, when he had completed the testations, angels came and ministered to him and they strengthened him. There is a strength that comes. You see, the greatest strength that you need is not muscles. Ah, that is nothing. You will meet people who have gone to the gym, but there is a time they grow tired too. But there is a strength that comes in the inner man. The Bible says a man's spirit sustains him in sickness. A strong spirit will sustain him in sickness. That means that when a person is sick, what keeps him alive is not the medicine, but is the strength in the inner man. One that has acknowledged what God has said about him. One that has the revelation of who God is. And how does that revelation come? When you understand that Christ can live in your heart by faith. Christ dwells in your heart. You know, someone will ask, but how can God live in my heart? By faith. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from the word of God. So that means that hearing the word of God, hearing by the word of God, that means that when you read the word of God, when you take on the word of God, and that word of God builds faith in you, then the revelation of Christ dwelling in your hearts by faith grows. That means that you have to believe. And that's why I keep saying there's a fellowship of the mystery, that you have to believe that God himself, his spirit, dwells in you. And when you understand this, then nothing is impossible with you. Why? Because you have been strengthened with might, with dunamis in the inner man. And this is where the secret of power, when you stay meditating by faith, by the word of God, and then that power in you starts to build up, and you can know that you are full of power. You can know that dunamis has come, the power to heal, and now your job is to discharge power. It's like an electrical station or a phone. When you've charged it, there's a point it becomes full. And that place of fullness is by faith, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you might be rooted and grounded in love. I tell you, when you understand the love of God, when you understand the agape, and that's what I was saying, if you just come to the comprehension of what God did in Christ to reconcile man back to himself, to bring the unity of the spiritual and the natural, to bring the unity of God and man into this new creation, to make Christ a life-giving spirit, to make you too a life-giving spirit, to give you the same inheritance of God, the same inheritance of the family of God. then you will know that this love cannot separate. Nothing can separate you from this love. And that's why Paul says, can sicknesses, can pain, can persecutions, can things in heaven, can demons, can wizards, can all evil spirits, is there anything that can separate us from the love of God? These are the dimensions of God, the dimensions of the love of God, the agape love of God. Now, when you understand the love of God, you are perfected in love. He that fears has not yet been perfected in love. But when you are perfected in love, you have nothing to fear. But you are rooted and grounded. When someone is rooted and grounded in love, that means they cannot be shaken. They can understand. That means there is a place of understanding that God loves you so much that he will never let you be embarrassed. He will never let you be put to shame, that even when others, when it is falling apart for the rest, things are still working for you. The world is crashing. That's why the Bible says, when they say there is a casting down, you shall say, we shall say, there is a lifting up. That means because you are rooted and grounded in love, there is a foundation that you have that makes you know that the love of the Father is so much for you that he will never put you to shame. He will never let your enemies triumph over you. Oh, no. 1,000 may fall at your right, 10,000 on your left, but it shall not come near you. With your eyes, you shall only see the reward of the wicked. There's a version that says you shall only be a spectator. That means it's like you're in a stadium. You are seeing the reward of the wicked, but you are covered in love. You are covered. Why? Because you have Christ has dwelt in your hearts by faith. You see, Christ does not dwell in our hearts by emotions. There are people who live in Christ by emotions. Oh, now I'm feeling God. Oh, God is in me. And for sure, those emotions are good. There are times we need it. We need that assurance. But you see, there is a place that is higher than emotion, where it is by faith. He is there. Even when I don't feel it, even when I don't know, he is there. Why? Because he has said he lives in me. Let me pause there, because I think, as I said here, there are many sermons here, and maybe we can even pick it up again tomorrow. Let me pause. My brother, you're welcome.
Yeah, you are right. There are so many revelations there, but I just want to say that this book or this chapter that we are exposing, that you are teaching us, thank you so much for that. I can just summarize it to say, I'm reminded of the supremacy of Christ, Christ over all, you know, the perfection of our faith, the perfection of our lives. It is through Christ Jesus. You know, as you were speaking there, a lot of things that were also coming through my mind, a lot of sermons that were also just coming through, and it's really, Ephesians is one of the best books, even for me. I really enjoy it. It is packaged. It is full of so many mysteries, like you rightly said. Yeah, but all of it, I'll sum it to say the supremacy of Christ revealed. Thank you.
Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And that's why I keep saying, if you understand Ephesians, you understand the church, you understand who you are in Christ, you understand your purpose eternally, you understand your destiny, you understand what God has done for you, and now you can walk in Christ because you are seated. Then you can stand, and then you can walk, and then you can fight. That's why he ends Ephesians with fighting. Why? Because he has now given you where you are. Then now fight. Eh? Because now you are rooted in love. You are grounded by faith. Christ is dwelling in your hearts by faith. That means it is not an emotional thing. It is a knowledge that surpasses human understanding. Oh, I'm telling you. Every time Ephesians, you go back to it, you see something else. You get strength in the inner man. And that means your inner man is strong. Ah, may God help us and strengthen us. And we just reflect, meditate, come back to it again, see something different. And I pray God will help us see even more. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the foundations that you've given us, O God, of your love. In agape, we are rooted and grounded in you, that Christ, you dwell in our hearts by faith, that you have strengthened us with strength in the inner man, dunamis, O God. I thank you this morning that we are your family. You have named us. Oh, by that we have an inheritance. We have rights. We have power. We have grace, O God. We have, you know, beyond our wildest dreams, O God, that name that is above every other name, indeed the supremacy of Christ, Christ above all, and Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thank you that you bring us to share in you, O God. You bring us to sit with you in heavenly places. And that is why nothing shakes us. Nothing moves us. There is a love that you have loved us before the foundation of the earth were laid. I pray for your encouragement. I pray for confidence to your people, O God. I pray for insight, for revelation, for grace, O God, to know that the power of life and death, the power is in the tongue, O God, that we can speak to the morning. We can speak to our families. We can speak order. We can cancel all demonic activities, all demonic forces of darkness, all works of witchcraft. And today, this morning, we silence every hindrance to your people, O God. We bind it in the name of Jesus. I speak release. I speak release. I speak release. May your power and presence walk with us, guide us, direct us, and be our shield and portion. We pray all this in Jesus' name. We pray and believe. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Shalom.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Amen.